Hey everybody, welcome to Come Follow Me Daily Dose. I'm Lindsay Hansen and today is April 17th. Today we are going to continue in the book of Enos. I hope you're loving this time that we get to spend in Enos as much as I am. I love this book. I love the doctrines here. I love the principles that we can learn as we study Enos's conversion. We've been talking this week about how as Enos was out hunting, he was thinking about the words that he had been taught. He was thinking about the knowledge that he had been given about Jesus Christ and how that knowledge then became conversion as he allowed those words to sink deep in his heart. And now we've been talking about the effects of that conversion in the life of Enos. Yesterday, we talked about how it led him to not only receive revelation, but believe that revelation. And today, we're going to talk about how Enos's conversion leads him to a concern for other people. President Howard W. Hunter once said in a Mission President's seminar, he said, "Anytime we experience the blessing of the atonement in our lives, we cannot help but have a concern for the welfare of others. A great indicator of one's personal conversion is the desire to share the gospel with others." Now, to be honest, that quote kind of stings me a little bit because honestly, I always thought I'd be one of those people who would be engaged in member missionary work their entire lives. I remember as a missionary meeting members thinking, "Why are you not more active in member missionary work? Don't you get it?" And I vowed I would never be that person. And yet here I am. There are so many different ways that we can be involved in member missionary work, and it doesn't necessarily mean knocking on our neighbor's doors. How do we serve in our callings? How do we minister to those that we minister to? I really struggle with that one. There are so many different ways that I know that I need to improve in my member missionary work, so many ways that I need to share the blessing of the atonement that I've experienced with other people. Now, I know I've shared this before, but I can't help but share it again. One of the most incredible member missionaries I've ever known in my entire life, when I very first returned home from my mission, would call me Sister Peru. And fresh off my mission, he put his arm around me and he said, "Sister Peru, do you know the golden question of member missionary work?" And keep in mind, I am fresh off my mission, and so I'm going through all the things that I used to ask people as a missionary. I thought, "Have you read the Book of Mormon? Have you ever heard of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints? Would you like to know more?" I'm thinking of all those things that I used to ask. And so I'm naming all these questions and he's smiling and he's saying, "Nope, nope, that's not it. That's not it." And finally, exasperated, I'm like, "Nope, I apparently don't. What is the secret to member missionary work? What is the golden question of member missionary work?" And he smiled at me and he said, "Sister Peru, the golden question of member missionary work is, what do you like on your hamburger?" And that was a huge lesson to me from the greatest member missionary I've ever known, that member missionary work starts out with a genuine love and friendship with people. As a set-apart full-time missionary wearing that black name tag, we have the stewardship and we have the responsibility to approach strangers and to say, "Hey, I've got this copy of the Book of Mormon. Do you want to read it?" That is normal. That's expected. It's part of the stewardship. But as member missionaries, our stewardship is to love, to befriend. And so we have these normal, natural relationships with our friends and our neighbors. We invite them over for barbecues and say, "What do you like on your hamburger?" And we allow that friendship to be the basis of sharing more, not editing or filtering the church from our lives, but letting people see the joy of the gospel and having that joy of the gospel bring them in naturally. Because as we are converted to the gospel, as we've experienced the blessings of the atonement, like President Hunter taught, we develop a concern for the welfare of others. And we naturally show that conversion that we've experienced in our eyes and in our lives. And so here we have Enos, and he has experienced the blessings of the atonement. He's experienced this conversion, and naturally it leads him to worry about others and to want to share that with others. The Lord has told Enos, "Thy sins are forgiven thee and thou shalt be blessed." He has experienced the atonement. And then look at what it says in verses 9 and 10. It says, "Now it came to pass that when I had heard these words, I began to feel a desire for the welfare of my brethren, the Nephites, Wherefore, I did pour out my whole soul unto God for them. And while I was thus struggling in the spirit, behold, the voice of the Lord came unto my mind again, saying, I will visit thy brethren according to their diligence in keeping my commandments. So a couple of things really stand out to me here. First is at the end of verse 9 when it says he pours out his whole soul. And then in verse 10, he calls it struggling in the spirit. Again, we see that visual of prayer is a form of work. There was nothing routine about this prayer. There was no vain repetitions. There was nothing trite being spoken here. Nephi, in his whole soul and in words probably spoken and unspoken, was pleading with the Lord on behalf of his brethren, on behalf of those that he loved. And then the second thing that's interesting to me here is that the Lord promises that he will visit and bless the Nephites according to their diligence in keeping the commandments. It seems to me that that is a natural law that God has to obey. We see so many times in the Book of Mormon, if you will keep my commandments, ye will prosper in the land. Doctrine and Covenants 82:10 says, I, the Lord, am bound when ye do what I say, but when ye do not what I say, ye have no promise. He's saying, I have covenanted with you that when you obey, I will bless you. But that promise, that covenant isn't there if you are not keeping up your side and obeying the laws that I've given. So here you have Enos, who has felt redemption, felt conversion, and then he's pleading with God, please bless those that I love, that they can be blessed and that they can prosper and that they can have this experience and this conversion. And the Lord is saying, look, I promise I will bless them to the degree that they allow me to bless them. I want them to experience this conversion. I want them to experience redemption, but I can't force it on them. And so to the degree that they obey, to the degree that they allow me to bless them, I will pour out my blessings upon them. And then what's even more incredible is that once he hears that promise from God, he is filled with even more faith, even deeper conversion. And then he doesn't just want to pray for his brethren and the people that he loves. Then he begins to pour out his soul for his enemies, for the Lamanite. Joseph Smith once said that a man filled with the love of God is not content with blessing his family alone, but is anxious to bless the whole human race. And that is what we see here from Enos. He is filled with the love of God. From his own conversion and the forgiveness of his sins, the redemption that he's experienced, the promises that he's been given about his own family, he has been filled with the love of God. And now it's not enough just to bless the people that he loves. He wants everyone to experience what he is experiencing. And so he begins to pray for the Lamanites as well. And then after that, Enos prays that the Book of Mormon would be preserved. He says, even if the Nephites fall into wickedness, please let the Lamanites preserve this record, because he understood the power of the word of God and he understood the importance of the testimony that was being written here in this book. My friends, I testify of the power of conversion, but I testify that oftentimes it is a step-by-step process. We often have to become converted principle by principle. One thing at a time. And oftentimes that conversion comes in increments, like we saw here with Enos. First, he had a knowledge of the word. He had heard the words preached to him. He knew all about it. And then he had to gain a testimony of that. He needed to believe in what was being said. But eventually those words had to sink deep enough in his heart that he was willing to act on them and live by them. My friends, we can know everything that there is to know about the scriptures. And it's not enough. We can allow those words of the scriptures and the words of the living testimonies to bloom and develop within our hearts, and we can believe, and it's still not enough. We need to allow those words to sink deep enough into our hearts that they become the guidepost for everything that we do. All of our actions are governed by this deep and abiding testimony that we have. That is conversion. But it is up to you and I to put all of our faith into the Word of God, to allow that Word of God to develop within us, and to have enough faith to act on what we believe. Thank you so much for listening today. If you're enjoying this podcast, make sure to follow us on social media, subscribe, like, comment, or share. This has been Come Follow Me, Daily Dose, and I'm Lindsay Hansen.